Hey, shout out to listener Toby, who stopped me yesterday, listens to the show, saw him at a local establishment. Thank you very much.
Every time I hear local establishment, I just think of...
Well, they're not an advertiser.
Oh, okay.
Even though I'm frequently I like going there.
Good on you.
Also, Huskers 2939 at AOL.com.
I saw it.
We got a listener in Charleston, South Carolina. Good Husker contingent there. If you saw when Nebraska played baseball down there earlier this year, they're at Patriots Point. I love Charleston.
I've never been, but I want to golf there.
That's where you said that one restaurant there. Was last
week,
right?
It's, I mean, I looked up. I lived there for a couple of months. And then, of course, she was in TV there at Live 5?
Only 2 months?
Well, then I got the job with the Penguins.
Oh.
So I moved. Yeah. I gave up Charleston, South Carolina for Wheeling, West Virginia.
Who won that one?
Hey, thank you, Lynn, for listening from the Holy City.
That's right.
That is one of my favorite places. It is fantastic. Also, a little known fact, I was going to be the color analyst for Citadel football.
Really?
Yeah.
The Citadel.
I was moving down there. I wanted to stay in radio, and yeah, I was going to be the analyst on the Citadel games.
Feel like you could have done baseball too then.
Yeah, I would have. I really wanted to do College Charleston.
Oh, okay.
But Tony was a longtime voice of the Cougs, CFC. But great. I'm the ambassador. You know, you want to be. You want to get a little. You know, Folly Beach. There's a lot of ton of history. Great food. Great people. Sometimes I get a little annoyed by the tourists.
Ruin it every.
But Kiawah Island is where you want to go to golf.
Yeah, that's they had the PGA. That was Phil's PGA Championship victory, right?
Yeah, beautiful area. Beautiful area. A lot easier to get to these days. The airport has expanded. Boeing is down there.
Oh, no. Why do you got to go there? What do you got to bring up? People got to bring up Boeing.
You know, you smell the pluff mud.
The what?
Yeah, it's a smell. It's a smell you get down there in Charleston, South Carolina.
What's
the pluff mud?
Pluff mud?
Google. Google is your friend.
Pluff mud.
Mm-hmm.
P-L-U-F-F. Pluff mud, huh? Oh, okay. Pluff mud, Charleston, South Carolina. It's oozy, vicious, dark brown magma.
Gives off a little smell.
Just doesn't sound pleasant at all.
Sound like you said magma.
Yeah.
Oh.
Liquid magma.
All right, let me give you, we got Jacob Bigelow coming up at the top of the hour, so we'll get back into basketball. Let me give you these guys. You tell me what they have in common.
Gross.
Maurice Washington, Greg Bell, Ramir Johnson, Ronald Tompkins, Dedrick Mills, Savion Morrison, Marvin Scott, Gabe Irvin, Emmett Johnson, A.J. Allen, Anthony Grant, Quentin Ives. I think those guys all have in common.
They're not in the same recruiting class. So that'd be one heavy running back recruiting class right there.
Well, that would be. I'd have some scrutiny on a coach that would have 1, 2, 5, 7, 8 would have 12 running backs in a. That would mean run the damn ball guy would have had a heart attack, died, and been reincarnated.
Guys, we got 10 running backs in this year's recruiting class.
Got a class of 25. We got 12 running backs, 12 offensive linemen, and we got a DB just so that we can make it fair.
We just wanted to fill that quota.
So many tears.
We feel like one will emerge out of that.
So one of the things that has emerged, the running back room is very much a work in progress because you have a couple of guys that have been out. I can't hop in your boat over there with Gabe Irvin. Because
who's in that boat right now?
I think you're in that boat.
Oh my gosh, I was.
You said Gabe Irvin, Ramir Johnson.
You were in that boat last year. I said I got to see more out of Gabe Irvin. I don't get it.
To be honest, I've never been in the Gabe Irvin boat.
Well, I never have either. I want to be perfectly clear about
never had more than 38 carries in a season.
I will admit I've been in the Ramir boat. I have been in the Ramir boat. I have not been in the Gabe Irvin boat.
Can't figure out Ramir. It's probably not his own doing.
No.
But two guys that haven't played a full season, I can't ride or die with you.
Mm-hmm.
So. You're in a green jersey until further notice, or whatever their designation is these days. Quentin Ives is a freshman, still kind of learning. You have Dante Dowdell is learning how to be a running back. Looks the part, but has to be more than acting the part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Emmett Johnson. Every time Emmett Johnson's name comes up, I feel like I have to apologize because I was not enamored when he was first recruited in Nebraska, and because he has taken advantage of his opportunity last year waiting, getting on the field first on special teams, but staying healthy, being very coachable, not a nuisance. He got an opportunity, and he seized that opportunity. Still not firmly convinced that he's a three down, 18 carry a game back, but he has reminded everybody the last two Saturdays that he ain't going nowhere. Doesn't matter who you bring in, that Emmett Johnson is going to be one of the top three running backs in this upcoming year. And I have to apologize, because when he was first offered, I was like, what are they doing? First of all, I was in the transition. Ryan Held had been fired. Ron Brown was in charge of running backs. Then he became a recruiter, and they recommended Emmett Johnson get a scholarship. And I looked at it and said, this guy is one of the is considered one of the best running backs in the state of Minnesota. How come the school down the street, which has a good history of running backs, has not offered him?
That's a fair question.
I'm a little suspect. Is this just a filler? And Ron Brown had to convince Scott Frost kind of the same thing. Ron Brown's got a pretty good eye for talent back in the day. And then I'll give credit to Scott, because I don't know that he was fully convinced until he took extra time to look at his film and get to know him on his visit. And then in his office, face-to-face with the family sitting there, and Ron Brown, who Ron Brown went to bat big time for Emmett Johnson. They offered the scholarship to Emmett Johnson. He got here. I thought, man, you didn't hear his name his first year. And I thought, okay, that's what I thought. Once again, I apologize, because he has proven me and probably others wrong that he ain't going nowhere. But what that little thing of those 12 names points out is Nebraska's running back recruiting has been porous for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was so excited when Kwon Lacy said yes. I was golfing. He committed, and I stopped for a hole because I had a tweet.
Yep.
But their running back recruiting has not been good. I mean, some of those guys looked good coming in and then didn't make it their entire career. Wouldn't it be ironic that a guy that probably of all of those names was less thought of could end up being a multi-year starter at Nebraska in Emmett Johnson?
I'm going to go to bat for you, though, because this was the cold take you were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You did apologize back in November.
I need to apologize every time because I was harsh on Emmett Johnson.
You were, but you apologized.
Before we were together, I was knee deep in like that seems to be a scholarship that's not going to go anywhere.
Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. Takes an even bigger man to laugh at that man. So you're fine, okay? But it's not just maybe his individual path to get to Nebraska, because I think it's a fantastic question of if you are the running back, the number one running back of the state, but the state institution is not recruiting you with their reputation of getting multiple running backs and always having guys that are going to back up the backup and being able to have quality depth there. I think that's a fair question of what is Nebraska seeing compared to PJ Fleck staff. But when you got there and you didn't hear a lot, I think that it was justified concern. But then this is where I get into not necessarily even Emmett himself, but you just rattled off a list of names where that position has been misrecruited. So you're wondering, is he just falling in line with a long history of guys that maybe there was some excitement about him? They were sold to the fan base as a potential difference maker, and for whatever reason, they never found the field, or they were never able to stay on the field. Whether that's development, whether that's their own doing, everyone's case is probably different. But there was a trend where it didn't look like Emmett Johnson would see the field. And then you look at this coaching staff, what they were able to identify with him. And this is the one thing that I've really appreciated about this coaching staff from day one, is they weren't so quick just to cast aside people. As long as some of those players were willing to put in the work and give it a shot, I think that resonated with this coaching staff. And whether we're talking about running backs, defensive linemen, at any position, as long as they were willing to listen to what the staff is saying, open for suggestions of even if it was a position change or how they could go about their individual work differently to possibly be effective, I think they got all that out of Emmett Johnson.
And I think he's the only guy in the roster right now that can do it all.
I credit this coaching staff as well, as well as Emmett Johnson. Emmett Johnson deserves a lot of credit too, but I think
he might deserve the most credit because he stuck with it.
Now, exactly.
Now, there's the part of, and I've also been harsh on him because I thought that whole position group was mismanaged last year, leading to believe that it's not well coached. But if I'm going to praise Emmett Johnson and his development and his stick-to-itiveness to rise up the ranks when you bring in one guy after another so that he stays in that third slot or that fourth slot and how you divvy out running back duties. I also got to give a little love to E.J. Barthel because he didn't do it just necessarily on his own. I mean, they're trying to teach guys how to be running backs, like do everything so that you're a do-it-all guy. I think Emmett Johnson is the first guy since Rule's been here at that position where he has used that phrase. And after watching the last two Saturdays, there's no reason to go, what is Rule saying? You watch him and you go, okay, that guy can do everything they're going to ask of running backs. And so it's my weekly, don't want to make it a daily, my apology, because I didn't think Emmett Johnson would last at Nebraska. And he is not only going to last at Nebraska and fill in next year where you, or last year where you needed him, he's going to play some important snaps this year.
You're an honorable man. Honorable man. Takes a big man to admit. A lot of people had this one, probably in a similar vein, though. So it's good. It reminds me a little bit, though, of when Scott Frost got to Lincoln. You're looking at, okay, first of all, you have Maurice Washington, but it was Divine Azigbo that was the true difference maker of that group. For a guy that saw some time here and there before, but I don't think anybody thought he would have the type of impact on that offense in the first year like he did. It was a guy that stuck with it, had an opportunity, and he was able to take advantage of that. You give the offensive personnel, coaching staff, credit for being able to identify that and put him in a role to succeed, but you ultimately give, at the end of the day, the player the credit for sticking with it and just selling out for that. I think there's a very similar, there's a commonality with Emmett Johnson of, at the end of the day, you give him credit because that thing could have went one direction or the other, but I think there was a belief with the coaching staff and Emmett Johnson that bought into that vision of how he can prepare at that position and he can put himself in that position to be impactful. And now you go into the end of the spring into fall where you are very much in the mix of that spot. It happens a lot, and I think he's the recent example. It doesn't happen a lot at Nebraska, but when it comes to guys that we're ready to just cast aside, sometimes it just takes different eyeballs to take a look at a guy, and both guys are running back and coach are on the same page.
He definitely looks faster than he was last year. I'd be curious when people see him on Saturday and they get him out in space, whether they be through blocking on a run or they throw him the football. If people notice the same thing, to me, he looks faster than he was last year. And here's a guy that has had pretty good wheels his entire career. Jacob Bigelow is going to join us after the top of the hour. Let's be honest, Jacob doesn't have good wheels. And he's on that softball team.
We're going to ask him about, wasn't he a strikeout victim?
I think everyone was.
Even the ones that didn't play.
It was contagious.
I just want to know if it was a bad strike zone, though.
He'll come up. Amy Just as well, who is not on that team, but maybe she should. After her exploits as a track star in Lincoln Southeast.
Need some speed.
That's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.